Marketing doesn't just sell you stuff. Marketing delimits reality. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. I got my Santa hat out, as usual, at this time of the season. But don't let this silly hat fool you, because today we have a very foundational and very important topic, a very serious topic, which is the issue of marketing. It's what I call the deep problem of marketing. It's a marketing problem that no marketer talks about ever. And it goes way, way, way beyond merely just marketing. You might say to yourself, well, Leo, what does marketing have to do with self-actualization and personal development and spirituality and consciousness? I mean, isn't marketing just for marketers? And I'm not marketing anything, so this topic isn't important for me. Oh, how wrong you are. By the end of this episode, your mind will be completely changed about that. You see, marketing isn't just for marketers. And in fact, most marketers don't even understand what they're doing when they're marketing. Marketing isn't just about selling you things. It's about shaping reality and culture. It's about getting eyeballs. It's about having influence within the entire web of belief of society and shaping that. That's what marketing is really about, and that's a very important topic when it comes to consciousness, truth, and understanding reality and your own personal self-actualization. So this issue of marketing, which we're going to go into, it affects you very personally and individually, but also it affects all of us collectively as a society, because we're all in this together. We're all in this collective web of beliefs that we call culture. See, people just assume that culture, media, society, and science discover the truth and then they deliver it to you or to us. But this is a very naive notion of how knowledge works. Knowledge does not work this way. This is a complete taking for granted of the challenges of discovering truth and then the challenges of delivering and spreading truth throughout culture. You see, it's one thing to discover the truth for an individual. That's hard enough. It's a whole other beast of a problem to then get that truth to percolate through culture and translate to every corner of the world across millions and billions of people and to change their individual minds, but then also to change the collective minds of all the institutions and cultures and subcultures and businesses and religions and schools and all of that which has been built up on the prior base of knowledge. People just assume that if something is true and it's important, then obviously I would have heard about it. That's how they reason. And so sometimes that presents a problem when I'm trying to present some deep information, because in your mind, it might seem like, well, Leo, if this was really true, if enlightenment was really true, or if some other stuff you were saying was really true, then wouldn't everybody be talking about it? Like scientists and academics and school teachers and in the news and all my friends and all my coworkers, wouldn't they all be talking about it? And of course, the answer is no. Of course they wouldn't. To assume that they would is to completely take this issue of knowledge for granted, and it's to misunderstand this challenging, deep problem of marketing. Reality is not just as simple as looking around, collecting the facts, and then just sharing the facts with everybody, and then everybody agrees. It doesn't work that way. Have you noticed that? It might seem like it works that way when you're living in your little bubble. But when you go outside your little bubble, you see that reality is much more complicated and knowledge is much more complicated and people disagree about a great many things. There's actually very little agreement between people about almost anything. From scientists to religious people, it doesn't matter. The religious people bicker back and forth between each other and so do the scientists. And so do the religious people and the scientists against one another. And so do the politicians. And so do the school teachers and everybody else. And I'm not even talking about yet different cultures, when you start getting into different cultures that exist. And I'm not even talking about yet different eras that humanity has been alive in. So today, 21st century, but we know all sorts of crazy things that people believed and subscribed to just 100 years ago, let alone 500 years ago or 2,000 years ago. See, to take this naive view of the spreading of truth is to assume that reality is very easy to figure out, and then ideas are very easy to spread. When in fact, this is exactly the opposite of what's true. Spreading the truth is always an uphill battle, because minds and cultures are resistant to new ideas. Have you noticed this? Very resistant. Much more resistant than anybody really appreciates. People think that, oh, if an idea just has merit, if it's good, if it's backed up by evidence, then everyone will accept it. Yeah, good luck. That's not how it works. Maybe that's how it works in the very, very long term. Like if you're talking about centuries or millennia, then maybe you could make that case. But it certainly doesn't work that way in your lifetime. Spreading new ideas costs billions of dollars. Do you realize this? Changing culture is an enormous undertaking. And if you really wanted to do it, you would need to expend billions of dollars or have thousands or millions of people at your disposal as volunteers to work for you, which is kind of like what religions do. That's how they change culture. Although, of course, they also employ billions of dollars as well, in many cases, if we're talking about organized religion. And information generally takes centuries to spread through culture. There have been discoveries that we have made within general relativity, for example, or quantum mechanics, over 100 years ago, and those ideas still haven't really percolated through mainstream culture. That's something I'll talk about in the future when I talk about quantum mechanics in a separate episode. See, what people don't understand is that they unconsciously judge every teaching against the background of culture in which they grew up. So culture, and of course culture is marketed to you, especially these days, culture sets the backdrop against which you assess everything else. So anything that I teach you, anything you hear from some guru, anything you read in a book, what are you going to do? You are going to compare that to your background of culture. And then based on that, you're going to criticize it, judge it, or dismiss it, or decide to accept it. And if it's something that really goes against your culture, then you're probably going to dismiss it, and you're going to be very skeptical about it. And also, you just might not resonate with that thing at all. Even if you might think it's true, it just won't resonate with you. Because what resonates with you is the culture that you grew up in. In the same way that the kind of food you like is largely shaped by the kind of culture you grew up in, the kind of food you ate when you were a small child. That's the kind of food you generally like as an adult. With some exceptions here and there for adventurous people. But see, people generally, what they assume is they assume that their culture is perfect. It's like, Leo, we live in the 21st century. Our culture, what are you talking about? Our culture, yeah, it's got its problems. But as far as truth and reality goes, I mean, our culture is the best that there's ever been. Because we've got science these days, and we've got universities and things. And look, we're able to do all this cool technological stuff. We're building solar panels and electric cars and self-driving cars and internet and all this. We've got all this sort of stuff. And so what's wrong with our culture? Aren't we living in a culture of truth? No, our culture is deeply, deeply materialistic. And see, the problem with culture is that it's so widespread that you really have nothing to contrast it against. So it's hard to even see how your culture can be wrong or untruthful, because what are you comparing it to? There's nothing else that you can compare it to. Now, if you maybe start to go around the world and travel around a lot and really talk to people from different cultures than yours, and you really try to get to the bottom of their beliefs and you see a lot of conflicts between their culture and your culture, maybe then that starts to kind of shake you out of your little bubble. But most people don't do that. Even when people travel, mostly they just do touristy stuff. So they don't really get exposed to different perspectives very much. And also because modern marketing and modern business has gone global. It's gone international, which means that mainstream Western culture is now starting to infect every single culture all around the world. And this is the culture of materialism. And it's very hard to then introduce ideas to people who grew up in a culture of materialism and know nothing else and think of it as reality. It's hard to then talk to them about ideas which contradict materialism. Because, like, you don't even have the possibility in your mind that there could be other alternatives to materialism. Materialism looks so solid and so real. But of course it's not. That's just an illusion that happens from being exposed to so much culture. And today our culture is very materialistic. I mean both metaphysically materialistic, but also, of course, commercially materialistic. And that's not an accident. Those things go together. Have you noticed that the healthiest knowledge, the healthiest teachings and insights and wisdom doesn't percolate through culture? And that when you find it, it's usually in rare pockets. You just don't see it advertised all across TV. You see, marketing isn't just about sales. Marketing is about influence and eyeballs. It's about exposing millions of people to certain kinds of paradigms, assumptions, and ideas. And then those ideas, they become reality. They define what reality is. Reality is not just something that you find out there. You're constructing it. Your culture is constructing it. Marketing and business are constructing it. So the really important question is, what kind of ideas is the majority of the human race being exposed to? This is a very important issue. And there is a war raging, a silent war behind the scenes that most people are not aware of, over determining what kind of information we feed to our children, to adults, to the general population, at universities, and everywhere else. See? Because channels of information and eyeballs, this is power. And knowledge is never free. It's never been free, and it's not free currently. People take knowledge so for granted. And especially nowadays, because we have the internet, you can make the case that, oh, well, Leo, knowledge is as free as it's ever been. I mean, what's not free about it? You can just, like, go start a blog for free online, go to WordPress.com or Tumblr or something. You can start your own blog and you can post any kind of crackpot ideas that you want to. Any kind of crazy conspiracy theory. You can post whatever you want. You basically have unlimited freedom of speech these days if you live in a first world country. So what's the problem? But you see, it's not that simple. And it's never been that simple. Because the issue isn't whether some one person can espouse some crackpot idea. That's always been the case. The question is, how many people can you influence? Who will actually listen to you? Yeah, I can go start a crackpot blog, or you can, or somebody else can, but then without marketing, no one is even going to know about those ideas. And conversely, if someone has some deep truth or deep wisdom, and they start their own little Tumblr blog, no one's going to know about it. You're not going to know about it. You're going to live your whole life, and you're going to die without ever having known about it. The only things you know about are the things that are mass marketed to you. See? The only reason you're watching me, the only reason you're listening to actualize.org is because I put a lot of effort into the marketing of this thing. Without the marketing, there would be nothing. You wouldn't know about this. You see? Because the kind of stuff that I talk about, nobody talks about in mainstream media. Nobody talks about it on Facebook. Nobody talks about it on TV. Have you noticed this? This is not an accident. And marketingactualize.org has been very, very challenging. Extremely challenging. It's very challenging to market this stuff. Going all the way back to the Greeks and Romans, 2,000 years ago, to the time of Socrates, knowledge was never free. Socrates was put to death because of the knowledge, the heretical knowledge that he was spreading within the Greek society, within Athens. See? They put him to death because knowledge is power. And the kind of knowledge that he was spreading, well, that was upsetting the status quo. There's always the status quo who is in power. And the status quo is always interested in maintaining its power. And it'll fight to the death for it. And of course, how is power maintained? Not just physically. The most important power is not physical power. It's not military power. It's mind power. It's idea power. It's the power of beliefs. It's the power to create reality through concepts and then to tell everybody that that's reality and you didn't create anything. See, that's the beauty of the mind, is that it can spin whatever kind of stories it wants and then it can just say, oh, that's not a story, that's reality. And most people will believe that. So we can look at Socrates, we can look at kings and dictators of the past, and what did they do? They very strongly controlled the flow of information. They banned certain books. They outlawed certain people from saying certain things. It took us many, many centuries to start to get freedoms such as freedom of speech that we enjoy today. And still, you know, within limits and only within certain countries. And that's a very recent development as far as human civilization goes. And many areas in the world still don't enjoy those freedoms today. So kings and dictators were very much about controlling the media, controlling information, and using propaganda. And I mean, you can see it even all the way to today. Today, dictators and authoritarian rulers still do that. They still try to control the media. They still try to do propaganda. Look at what's going on in Russia. Look at what's going on in North Korea. Not to mention first world countries where it also happens. But we'll get into that a little bit later. But also, of course, think of the church. Think of the Spanish Inquisition. Think of for how many centuries the church controlled the flow of information and ideas and beliefs. Think of how many wars were started over ideology. Think of the witch trials. So knowledge has never been free, and it's not free today, because in the past, although knowledge was largely controlled by the church or by the state, today it's less so controlled by the state. Today it's controlled by, in another sense, something even worse: science, academia, and business. Modern business controls culture and controls what reality is for millions and billions of people around the world. And the problem is that modern business is only really concerned about one thing: maximizing profits. It doesn't care about truth. It doesn't care about consciousness. It cares about maximizing its own profits. And science and academia, you might think, oh, well, but they are the ones who really pursue truth, even at the cost of profits. No, they don't. Modern science and academia is also very much corrupted by business and money. Science is very much biased towards researching those domains which have technological applicability, technologies that can be sold, that can be patented, that can be marketed. So this issue of marketing is not just about what kind of ads you see on TV, although, of course, obviously it is about that. It's about all these other ancillary domains where marketing is important. Marketing is important anywhere where you're trying to get a consensus of people to agree on anything. See, how do you do that? By marketing. Those who have control and power, they control access to eyeballs. Think of North Korea. It's really illustrative to study what's going on in North Korea. On the inside, how the North Korean regime is controlling and brainwashing its citizens into basically maintaining that entire criminal enterprise. That's what that is. North Korea is just like one giant mafia with tens of millions of hostages at stake. And the kind of extraordinary lengths that they go into to indoctrinate and propagandize their entire population is really mind-blowing. You should read some books about that. I have a book list. I have a book on my book list that talks about that. Very, very eye-opening and sobering. But it doesn't stop with North Korea, of course. The kind of stuff that happens in North Korea actually happens in first world countries as well. It's just happening a little bit more under the radar. Under the veil of freedom of speech. Under the veil of just mainstream news. Or just Facebook. Or just TV ads. You see? That's what makes the propaganda in first world countries even more dangerous than North Korea. Because in North Korea, it's kind of obvious from the outside that the propaganda is very, very strong. But then you look at American culture, for example, and you say, oh, well, look, we don't have propaganda like that. And yeah, sure, we don't have propaganda like that, but we have a different version of propaganda. It's more subtle. It's a lot harder to notice. It's a lot easier to think that, oh, we don't have any propaganda, so our culture just is reality. Think about education. Education is basically a propaganda program from start to finish, grade 1 through grade 12, and even college. By the time you go through that entire gauntlet, you have been indoctrinated to think inside of a certain box, according to a certain paradigm, certain things. And then anything that goes against that from then on, you're going to consider it as nonsense or insane, or you're going to think of it as just like a weird fringe non-mainstream stuff. But you see, there is a war waging right now in America, for example, over what kind of information is taught to grade schoolers, to high schoolers. And the healthiest and most conscious information is not even mentioned during 12 years of schooling. Not even mentioned. A lot of times people get into actualize.org, they start to listen to my stuff, and they're like, wow, why didn't anybody teach me this in school? It's not an accident. They didn't just ignore it. They didn't just like, oops, we forgot. No. There's an exertion of power going on. And the people who have the power, they are not interested in teaching you consciousness or truth, for the most part, because they themselves are unconscious. So what they're interested in is they're interested in teaching you the sorts of things which lets them maintain the power and control over you, and which lets them sell you a bunch of stuff, both ideas and tangible goods, so that you're caught up in the cycle of consumerism, and then you're earning them money. You see, they program your mind with the things you need to be buying and pursuing and desiring and also fearing, so that by the time they're done with you, you are their little zombie robot. You have no mind of your own. But meanwhile, you're thinking, oh, I really desire all this stuff. No, you don't. You desire it because you've been programmed since birth with that kind of stuff, through schooling and everything. And so have your parents and your parents' parents. And there is a constant battle going on secretly within every single society over what kinds of information our youth are going to be indoctrinated with. See? Right now, with the Trump administration in power, the conservatives are pushing their agenda through schools. They're trying to actually change the entire school system and what's being taught in the school system, right? Because the people in power want their ideology spread through education, generally speaking. And there's a lot more that I could go into about that, but we need to move on. See, what rational and scientific people don't appreciate about this topic of marketing is they think that, oh, well, rationality and science will just win out. And all these things you're just talking about, like, silly cultural norms and things. Yeah, those exist. There's like dogmas and traditions and old ideologies and stuff. Those exist. But generally, rationality will break through all that. No, it won't. Rationality is serving that. Science is serving that. They are in bed with the enemy. You have to understand that power is largely antithetical to truth, reality, and consciousness. The people who are interested in power, they're not interested in truth. And conversely, the people who have truth, reality, and consciousness, they're not very interested in power. Because in truth, everything is equal, everything is one. Nothing is more important than anything else. And what power is about saying that, oh, this thing is more important. I am more important. My group is more important. My nation is more important. My city is more important. And therefore, I'm going to fight for it. And I'm going to exert power over everybody else to get my agenda pushed through. That's what the ego is all about. The ego is power hungry. Why? Because it doesn't know the truth. Because it's not conscious. If it was conscious, it would surrender all desire for power. But since it's not conscious, it doesn't know any better. So to it, all that life is about is acquiring more and more power. And then using that power to fulfill shallow ego gratifications, like buying stuff, taking vacations. I want you to really notice that nothing high consciousness is ever advertised, for example, on television. Or taught in schools. Or universities. What is the agenda of science? To advance itself. It's not truth. People think the agenda of science is truth. No, it's not. The agenda of science is first and foremost to advance itself. Secondarily, some truth. But first, to advance itself. What is the agenda of business? To enrich itself. Business doesn't care about truth at all. It's to enrich itself. And it's bad enough that science is corrupted by this agenda to advance itself, but it's secondarily corrupted. There's a second layer of corruption because business is then infiltrating science. See? Because these days, science is very much dependent on the kind of funding that it gets from business. And the kind of funding it gets is the kind of stuff that business finds marketable. And the kind of stuff that business finds marketable is the most low consciousness stuff that there is. There's a lot of money and power to be made in catering to the unconscious instincts of mankind. And this is the deep problem with modern marketing. It's not just that modern marketing is selling you crap you don't need. It is, of course, but it goes way deeper than that. It's that it's literally to do that, in the purposes of doing that, it's infecting your mind with an artificial notion of what reality is. It's carefully engineering all your values and desires and everything you're pursuing such that then you become like an infected host that then goes off and does what business wants you to do, which is play into this game. And then you wonder why you're not satisfied, why you're depressed, why you're not passionate about life. It's because you're in this system. You're so deeply in the system, you don't even know you're in this system. Modern marketing is concerned with maximizing sales. It's concerned with pushing your emotional buttons to do that. It promises easy answers towards that end. Because if I can promise you an easy answer, you're going to pull out your wallet and pay me. Modern marketing scientifically engineers marketing to be irresistible. So actually, psychology and sociology and all these other fields are being carefully used and funded with billions of dollars every single year to carefully fine-tune and lab test the best ways to propagandize you, to fill your mind with all the wrong ideas about how to live life, so that you become a consumerist zombie. See, do you understand that companies are spending billions of dollars every year to do this? And that it's highly effective, especially now in the internet era with computers? Every single ad is being split tested and micro tested and micro calibrated. Every single word of every single ad that you read online, every word in there is carefully tested to make sure that every single word there triggers all your emotional buttons that gets you to pull out your wallet and buy stuff that is actually low consciousness stuff, which is against your ultimate highest good as a human being. Modern marketing has no ethics and no high consciousness values. No one within modern marketing asks the question, is this truthful? No one ever asks the question, is this healthy? No one ever asks the question, is this elevating humanity or dragging us down into depravity? Because modern marketing is purely selfish. All it really cares about is maximizing sales. And towards that end, anything goes. And there's very little laws or regulations or ethical norms that are exerting pressure on anything other than that. So, of course, it's a race to the bottom. It's a race to see who can get the most sales by making the most empty promises and selling you the least conscious things that can possibly be sold to you. Damn the costs. And perhaps what's worse of all about this is that nobody is talking about this. This is like an open secret. You've never heard anybody on TV talking about this. No one in the news, none of your favorite news anchors or political commentators, none of your celebrity friends or business people. You don't hear Bill Gates talking about this or Warren Buffett talking about this or Elon Musk talking about this. Nobody's talking about this. Because this is like the secret fuel that fuels our entire society, all of business. And it's just taken as, well, that's the only way it could work. Modern marketing is particularly damaging in the following areas. The way that soda, food, alcohol, and tobacco is advertised. Pharmaceuticals. Oh man, the amount of selfish and reckless marketing that goes on in the pharmaceutical industry is just it's shocking. It's shocking the things they're able to get away with. Like, they kill hundreds and thousands of people, and they destroy millions of lives with pharmaceuticals. Like, it's just so completely corrupt. It's so corrupt that doctors who are supposed to be looking out for your health are completely corrupted by the pharmaceutical industry to peddle their drugs to you for all the problems that you have that could be fixed without using drugs. And then people get addicted to these drugs. There's all these side effects with these drugs. They end up taking these drugs for years, for their entire lifetime, and they don't know any better because they just trust their doctors. And the doctors, well, they're corrupted by the pharmaceutical industry. And these pharmaceutical companies, you know, every single major pharmaceutical company has been fined by governments, both in America and in Europe, to the tune of billions of dollars, many billions of dollars. Every single year this happens. They lose lawsuits because of the kind of shady, dishonest, and unethical marketing that they do. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's like the actual criminal stuff. Let alone just the borderline gray area unethical stuff that they do, which really isn't illegal, but it's still completely shameful. And it still is destroying the fabric of reality, and it's making human beings unconscious. See, these pharmaceuticals are literally fucking with your brain chemistry to make you a zombie. Millions of people on antidepressants. Millions of people taking cholesterol medication and all sorts of other medication, mood enhancers, and all this sort of stuff, which is actually completely destroying your ability to be conscious and to self-actualize. Because they're sold on this idea of just take a pill and this pill will solve all your problems. How about the advertising of gadgets and technology? This area is also not immune from low consciousness marketing. A lot of gadgets that are pitched to you these days are completely unnecessary and people get obsessed with. And there's this entire culture. We have this entire subculture of like technophiles, people who are into the latest phone, the latest iPod, the latest gadget, the latest this, the latest that. Entire websites that cater to that, just giving you gadget news like it's porn. And then people get hooked on that. And then you get hooked on that so much that it's like when you don't have your latest gadget with you, or you're not able to get it for Christmas, then you're depressed, you're sad. And then all your happiness goes into that. It's like, well, I'll be happier next year when the next PlayStation comes out, the next Xbox comes out, when the next iPhone comes out. That'll solve all my problems. As if. What about the marketing of all these financial products and gimmicks? If you turn on CNN or any major TV news station, what are most of their ads going to be? It's going to be financial gimmickry. IRAs, stock investments, mutual funds, retirement plans, annuities, life insurance, all this sorts of stuff. And this is just complete sleazebag marketing. These firms are making billions and billions of dollars basically handling other people's money, and in many cases just cheating people out of their money. And promising them dreams of becoming rich. How about the marketing of various kinds of flimsy education programs? A lot of online universities and things like that that get marketed these days, which are against the user's best interest. How about the marketing of kids' food and toys? This is a particularly pernicious problem because you've got kids that are 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. They don't even know what it's like to grow up free of addiction. They get addicted from the very, very early stages these days with targeted, laser-targeted, scientifically engineered marketing to corrupt their minds when it comes to the kind of food they eat, the kind of toys they want to play with. And then so by the time these kids enter school and then they become teenagers and early adults, these people, they can't focus, they can't concentrate, they are eating garbage food, and all this has been programmed into their minds from the very early stages, so it becomes extremely difficult to then unwire all that stuff. How about the marketing that goes on of movies, games, and books? This is also problematic. Notice the kind of movies, games, and books that are marketed the most. It's the most lowbrow, low-quality stuff that you can imagine. And how much of your time is then focused on this, following your favorite movie, the next Star Wars movie, following your favorite game, the next game in the franchise, or the kind of book, and then the author just keeps pumping out books. But what is this? This isn't high consciousness stuff. These aren't books that will transform your life. These are books. This is media that's going to waste a bunch of your time. And it's going to make you so addicted to this sugary nonsense that they're pitching you that then when I tell you to do something like go discipline yourself and meditate for 20 minutes, you can't do it. Because how is 20 minutes of meditation going to compare with the next Star Wars movie? Well, this latest one got pretty bad reviews, so maybe it'll compare favorably. You get the idea. See, that's the problem. Society is poisoning you with sugar, metaphorically. Metaphorical sugar. Of course, literal sugar in all your food, that's happened for the last 50 years now, and that's a big problem with obesity. But it's also poisoning your brain with metaphorical sugar. How about clickbait titles? You see those all online? How about the mainstream news? And I'm not criticizing the factual nature of the mainstream news. What I'm just criticizing is the business bias, the pro-business bias that all news has. It's pro-corporate. All news is basically pro-corporate because they have to be because they are earning millions and billions of dollars every single year from all those financial companies and pharmaceutical companies and food companies and all this other shit that needs to be advertised through their channels. So they have to be friendly to that. They can't piss off their advertisers. So they have to be pro-corporate. And of course, that means that on the news, you will never hear anybody talking about anything that I'm saying here. Never. Ever. Because what I'm saying here isn't going to earn anybody money. And they're in the business of earning money. Those news people, they earn $10 million, $20 million a year salaries. How do you think they can earn that kind of money? Only by participating in this program. And they participate in this program without even knowing that they're doing it. Some of them know, but many of them don't. They themselves are brainwashed by their own bullshit. You might think that I'm talking about some supreme reptilian overlords who sit in the government somewhere and who are masterminding all of this. No! If there are any kind of reptilian overlords, they're just as unconscious as the people who they're fucking over. Because conscious people don't want to fuck over other people. Only unconscious people do that. Because they don't know any better. And how about the marketing of religion? It might seem like I'm just picking on science here, I'm picking on business, but, you know, religion is still marketed these days. And religion is interesting because you don't usually see TV ads for it. It's more like word of mouth and sort of like that. But still, that's also a way of marketing. You see, marketing isn't just ads. Marketing is any way to influence anybody and getting eyeballs. And then what you use those eyeballs for, well, you know, that can vary. You can use it to earn money. You can use it to pitch a religion. You can use it to make a cult, whatever. Or you could use it to enlighten people. You know, you can use it for good or for evil. Notice that nobody talks about the real solutions to mankind's problems. You don't hear people talking about the real solutions to government, the real solutions to business, the real solutions for personal happiness, the real solutions to health and love and spirituality and all this sort of stuff. Nobody talks about this on TV. Nobody talks about this on Facebook. Nobody talks about this anywhere. Almost nowhere. And then we wonder why we have all these problems. Because what business is pitching you, what modern marketing is pitching you, is fake solutions to very real problems. And these fake solutions, they're designed not to work so that you can come back and get more. When a pharmaceutical company is giving you a drug, it's actually in their best interest that that drug doesn't cure you. Because what's better for them, that they give you one pill and it cures you, or that they give you pills for the rest of your life that never cure you? Marketing is directly responsible for causing the following things: obesity, heart disease, cancer, mindless consumerism, economic disparity, the growing gap between the lower and upper class, pollution and poison, every form of addiction known to mankind, from drugs to sex to gambling to everything else, mind-numbing entertainment, laziness, the anti-mastery mindset, depression, suicide, anger, dogma, tribalism, disillusionment with life, ignorance, misinformation, war, even war, and the reinforcing of the materialist paradigm. It's in modern marketing's best interest to maintain the materialist paradigm. Because when all you think that reality is just a collection of bouncing atoms and molecules and nothing else, then what is there to do but to sit back on your ass, watch TV, eat Cheetos, go to the store, shop for stuff, and then come back and do it all over again, and then, you know, work your ass off in some corporation to then go buy yourself a house and to get some stock options and this sort of stuff. And that becomes your whole life. Because the materialist paradigm is gross by its very nature. It doesn't recognize anything subtle. It doesn't recognize creativity. It doesn't recognize consciousness. It doesn't recognize beauty and truth and love. It doesn't recognize any of these things. It recognizes the most base forms of human desire, which is like the need for sex, for greasy food, for easy stimulation, and for shortcuts and quick solutions and get-rich-quick schemes. Modern marketing sets the bar so low that when you do actually hear the truth sounds like insanity. Because you're always judging anything you're hearing by what you've heard before. And what have you heard before? It's all the stuff you've heard from every single marketing channel that is popular. So you're always judging truth against untruth. And there's always a giant mountain of untruth with a little tiny grain of truth. So that giant mountain easily outweighs the little tiny grain of truth if you are not vigilant about it. And in a sense, this is how it must be, because society collectively must evolve up through the spiral dynamic stages. What can be marketed successfully is very much limited by the audience's paradigm. It's very much limited by the limits of human language and what can be communicated. If a thing can't be communicated, it's hard to market it. It's also limited by the predominant needs and desires of the population. So it creates this sort of vicious circle where unconscious people will only buy things that are unconsciously marketed to them. But then because companies have to cater to that and market unconscious things, that makes the people even more unconscious. And then those unconscious people are themselves the ones who are running the marketing companies. You might think that, well, Leo, I'm not a marketer, so you're talking about marketing here, but what can I do about it? I mean, I don't do marketing. But you work for a company, you see. No matter what company you work for, no matter what business, that business can only survive because it's able to market. So you need to take a look. What kind of marketing is your business doing? If you're working for McDonald's, look at the marketing that McDonald's is doing. That's the whole problem, is that it's precisely because people are working just like zombies, like cogs in a machine, that they are actually just unconscious cogs in this larger unconscious machine called a corporation, like McDonald's, which markets, and all the people in that company are contributing to the marketing effort of McDonald's. And then ultimately what that is doing is literally poisoning human beings. That's what you do if you work at McDonald's. You literally poison human beings for a living. Doesn't matter if you're the CEO or you're their marketing guy or you're just one of the person who like cleans the floor at night at the McDonald's store. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're a programmer working for McDonald's, you know, working on their website. You might think, oh, well, I'm just a programmer. I'm not part of this whole thing. Yes, you are. By the very fact that you're denying that you're part of it, that's precisely how you're a part of it. That's how unconsciousness works. Nobody takes responsibility for anything. The CEO doesn't take responsibility for the marketing. Even the marketing guy doesn't take responsibility for the marketing. You know what he'll say? He'll just say, oh, well, Leo, if we don't do this marketing, Burger King will do it. Jack in the Box will do it. Somebody else will do it. And so we have to compete. We're forced to compete with them. That's what they'll tell you. And then, of course, the person who washes the floors or flips the burgers or cooks the fries, he's going to say, well, I'm just a lowly little employee. I don't have anything to do with marketing. I don't have a say in that. Yeah, but you're working for them. You see, you're doing their dirty work. You are serving the poison. You're cooking the poison that they are marketing. And you'll say, well, but Leo, how am I supposed to survive in society? Yeah, precisely. That's the challenge. It's not easy to go find conscious work. Most work is unconscious, which feeds and does the dirty work of unconscious marketing. See, unconscious work leads to unconscious marketing and vice versa. So it's this vicious cycle. And to break out of that cycle takes consciousness, takes vision, takes ambition, takes higher consciousness values, takes a lot of work to work towards those. Takes moving through the spiral dynamic stages. And this is not something that you can just rush. I'm not saying there's a magic solution here to this. Society has to gradually evolve through these stages, and we're in the process of that. We can't just flick our fingers and tomorrow this problem is solved. But here's what we can do. Here's where it gets practical. You can take control of your own life. You can stop using society as the gold standard against which you judge other paradigms and other ideas. You can stop assuming that society will deliver truth and health to you. You can stop sucking on society's tit and take ownership over the kind of media that you consume, over the kind of businesses that you shop with, and over the kind of companies that you're willing to work for. And the kind of marketing that you're willing to do and that you're willing to support. That's within your power. And that's exactly what a conscious person will need to do. Most people don't exercise this power because they haven't really thought about it. They don't know about it. They're just ignorant of it. They're unconscious. High consciousness stuff is difficult to market. Make no mistake about it. And if you are in a position where you're trying to start your life purpose, maybe you're trying to start a business, you're an entrepreneur, or maybe you're starting to go into the workforce, you want to find a good career for yourself, it's not easy to find a company that does high consciousness marketing. That takes real strategy for you to work towards that. And if you are your own business person, you might say, well, Leo, I'm struggling as it is to get my business going or my life purpose going. And here you're telling me to do conscious marketing. Yeah, it's much harder to succeed doing conscious marketing than doing unconscious marketing. It's much easier to create a business which sells people poison than it is to create a business which actually elevates people. See? Because the market is glutted with crap, it's hard to convince people to buy good stuff. When someone can go just buy a triple Big Mac with a pound of bacon in it, it's hard to convince them to buy your healthy salad. But that's a bullet you've got to bite. That's a bullet that we as a society have to bite if we want to evolve. You know, somewhere we have to draw the line. We have to say no. And although you cannot control what McDonald's does or anybody else does, you can control what you do. You can control the kind of stuff that you are willing to tolerate, the kind of companies you're willing to work for, the kind of products you're going to put out, the kind of advertisements you're going to put out. Are you going to stoop to the lowest common denominator, try to appeal to people's most base and unhealthy needs and desires? Or are you going to have a larger vision for the world? That's difficult to do, but it can be done. People don't fathom how important marketing is for learning about higher consciousness things. You see, the best books and teachers, you have no idea who they are or that they even exist. because they're never talked about on TV or online or in the media or anywhere else. The wisest masters, the human beings who have figured out the most about reality, they are completely unknown to you. They are not big name professors with PhDs who have a bunch of books that they've written and who've been on radio shows and all this kind of, they're not like that. They're not the Neil deGrasse Tysons of the world. They're not the Sam Harrises of the world. These people are marketing masters. That's why they're known. The only reason you know about these people or any books is because somehow somebody mass marketed it to you, most likely. Or maybe you just accidentally stumbled upon it, but that's very rare. Most of these wisest masters, they will die without you even knowing that they existed. And that's the real deep problem of marketing. You see, people just expect that, oh, well, if there was a really wise master, he would just like be on TV spouting his stuff and I would certainly hear about it. No, you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. Stop assuming that. Stop taking this stuff for granted. The world is filled with incredible things that you will never see on TV, the internet, in books, or in magazines. And even if somebody writes a book about one of these incredible things, how are you going to discover that book? You're not. I want you to see that the things that you know about are literally defined by the things you're being marketed by. The kind of marketing channels that you open yourself up to. You tend to take marketing that you're exposed to as the entire possibility space of what's out there, of what's possible. And that is an enormous distortion of the truth. There's a whole world out there beyond mainstream marketing that most people have no clue about. But what that requires is that they get off their ass and do a little bit of work to actually go and investigate that, rather than sitting at home and waiting for it to come to them. Don't wait for amazing books to come to you. Don't wait for amazing wise masters to come to you. There's a reason that Yoda lives in a fucking swamp on a planet somewhere far off in some corner of the galaxy that nobody knows about. That was a very insightful depiction by George Lucas in Star Wars. See, that's where you put Yoda, because that's where you find a wise master. Yoda's not found on the internet, on the online forums, keyboard jockeying away. He's not found on the evening news. That's not where you find Yoda. What would responsible marketing look like? It would look like marketing what elevates the user. Taking the user's agenda as your number one priority rather than money. Is the thing you're selling going to truly, honestly elevate the user? And not through some backwards rationalization like the way that McDonald's will do it. See, because if I ask this question of the McDonald's CEO, he'll say, yeah, but Leah, we fill a need in the market. People need their Big Macs. You know, people are hungry. They're starving. They're driving to work. They don't have a lot of time. They need to feed their kids. They need to drive into McDonald's and buy their Big Mac, buy their chicken McNugget meals or whatever. And that's a real service. No, that's not what I mean. That's a bullshit backwards rationalization. What I'm talking about is your product elevating the user. How could you improve your product so that you could really be proud of the fact that you're elevating your user's consciousness? Chicken nuggets and Big Macs are not elevating a user's consciousness. And you might say, well, Leo, but how am I supposed to make McDonald's elevate user's consciousness? Well, maybe you can't. Maybe it needs to die. Or maybe you can be crafty and clever and figure out a way. Figure out a way to make healthier meals that taste good, that are fast. Figure it out. Or leave that business. Responsible marketing takes on this challenge. Responsible marketing actually cares about improving people's lives. Responsible marketing cares about marketing health and not dysfunction. It doesn't want to addict people. It wants to actually offer them permanent solutions to their problems. Responsible marketing will try to market a solution which actually then obviates the need for itself. So for example, with actualize.org, my hope is that you listen to enough of my content that one day you actually outgrow the need to listen to any more personal development advice from anybody, including myself. So that then you're so wise that you realize, hey, all these answers he's talking about, they're just inside of me. I could turn inwards, self-reflect and contemplate, teach myself to do that for myself. And then I can derive all this for myself and much, much, much more. And it'll be way more powerful than watching it on a video or listening to it through an audio. But it might take you a while to get there. I grow pretty quickly. So I'll actually I'll bet good money that I will grow faster than you. And that it'll take a good long time before you actually outgrow actualize.org. Because we're going to be talking about some really advanced stuff in the future. Stuff that'll take you years to get to by yourself. But I do ultimately hope that you get there. That's how you know that it's actually working. It's not my job to hook you in for life. Because I could keep talking about shit all the time for the rest of my life. But that's really not the point. The point is for you to actually start to self-actualize. So you need a little bit of it to get going. So watch it for a few years to get going. These are like training wheels, but then eventually you take off the training wheels and you spread your wings and you learn to fly by yourself. So responsible marketing is possible. It's more challenging, but I recommend that you start thinking and strategizing towards those ends. If you're not there yet, if you don't know how to make it work yet, okay, that's fine, but set it as a vision, set it as a goal, work towards it, try to get there in 5 years, in 10 years. Here are the key takeaways from this episode. This is the practical stuff. Firstly, start to notice how marketing is unhealthy, just how much of it around you there is. And start to notice that marketing doesn't just pertain to TV ads, but to a lot of other stuff that you normally don't consider as marketing. Start to notice also the few good examples of healthy marketing that exist. And try to see what's the ratio. What's the ratio of the healthy to unhealthy? Start keeping track. Start looking at billboards. Look at what's advertised on billboards and ask yourself, is that healthy? Is that elevating me? Or is that dragging humanity down right there? And see what the ratio is going to be. It might be something like 5 to 100 or maybe 5 to 1,000. Also, stop assuming that truth will trickle down to you from up above, that society will spoon feed you the truth. It won't. Also, and this point right here will completely change your whole life, this one point. Go out of your way to find the unmarketed gems. This is how you really advance yourself in life. You don't sit back and wait for the gems to come to you. You don't wait for me to tell them to you. Although, for example, in my book list, I do provide a lot of those. But you go out of your way to find the unmarketed gems, the books, the seminars, the teachers, the yogis, the masters, the retreat programs, the workshops, whatever you need. Find the people, find the resources. It's all out there. You got to just go do some research. Get off your ass and find it. Because those people usually are not marketing masters, and they're rarely going to reach you. If they reach you, it'll be by accident. And then do your job in trying to spread those unmarketed gems to your friends, to people around you that you know, through word of mouth. That one point right there will change your whole life. You will discover things that will just blow your mind. And you'll be like, why isn't anybody talking about this? Well, now you know why. Another takeaway is, if you're the kind of person who cares about thinking about how to improve society and you like trying to make a good impact in the world, and that's maybe part of your life purpose, then understand that one of the biggest improvements we can make to society is reforming our marketing system. It's a huge source of corruption and unconsciousness. And this is something that nobody almost talks about, is the need to reform a marketing system. No one in government is talking about this. No one in business is talking about this. But that actually precisely proves my point. See, because nobody's talking about this is because it's not really marketed. If government really wanted to, it could invest billions of dollars, all the money that we're wasting on building up a nuclear arsenal. We could take some of that money, some of those billions, and invest it towards actually regulating marketing, setting standards and ethics in place, and also running public marketing campaigns, which actually try to deliver high consciousness information to people. Because businesses are not going to do it, for the most part. So government can play a very big role in that. But actually these days with the Trump administration, it's actually quite the opposite. You know, just this week, I heard some news where the Trump administration has actually banned the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, which a federal arm, which tracks statistics for all the death rates, all the disease rates and everything else. It's the statistics arm of the U.S. government. They are banning it from using certain words like science-based and evidence-based and vulnerable and some of these other kinds of terms. There's a list of like 10 of these terms. These are terms that are against the conservative agenda. So they're actually banning the use of these words for the CDC. See? So just that shows you how deep this problem of marketing goes. See, they're playing that war. They're playing that war of trying to get their ideology pushed through. When really what we need is we need the exact opposite of that. We need government helping to sponsor open-mindedness and consciousness and mindfulness and meditation and self-actualization. These sorts of things could completely transform the face of society if they were funded just a little bit, you know? It doesn't need $100 billion, just even like $100 million would make a huge, huge change in people's lives. Way, way more consequential than any kind of military defense spending or any other kind of stuff that government wastes its money on. Another takeaway is to stop doing low consciousness marketing if you're doing it. If you are involved with marketing and you care to be a high consciousness human being, those two things, they don't go together. You need to wake up and you need to find a way out of that. Find a way to elevate yourself and find a way to elevate other people. You as a marketer are responsible for the kinds of ideas that you are putting into people's minds. You are responsible for the kind of impact that you're making in the culture. So if you are making a kind of impact in the culture, which is turning people into a frenzy to buy a bunch of your shit that nobody really needs, or that's unhealthy, or that's dragging people down, you are not only damaging those individuals with your food or with whatever you're selling them, you're actually damaging the entire culture, and not just those people, but their children and their children's children and their children's children's children, because they will get infected with all those mind viruses that you are spewing through your marketing. And by the way, you're not going to be a happy human being working for a corporation that does low consciousness marketing. You're not. No matter how rich you get, you're not going to be happy. In case you haven't noticed yet. Another takeaway here is that if you have wealth and if you have power, or if you're going to have wealth and power in the future, maybe you apply some of these concepts that I'm sharing with you, and in 10 or 20 years, you become a millionaire or a billionaire, you start some new company that transforms the world, some new Facebook, some new Google, some new Apple, and you have power now, it's your responsibility, because you have wealth and power, to use that to help to reform our marketing system rather than corrupting it. So I hope you keep this in mind. So in 10, 20 years, if you want to repay me for this information, you don't need to send me a check. Just make a commitment that you're going to reform the marketing system if you have power. That's huge. You're going to have a huge influence. And in many ways, I'm critical of people like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, who have billions and billions of dollars. And what do? They go to Africa someplace and they do research for improving poverty there and improving diseases. And I mean, that's great. You know, that's very basic stuff and it needs to be done. But also, if you have hundreds of billions of dollars and you've got nothing to do with them, you don't know what to do, reform a marketing system. Buy up these marketing channels and then use them to feed information to people. And especially here in America, first world countries, feed people high consciousness information. The more people we can get to know about these high consciousness things like meditation, enlightenment, self-inquiry, self-actualization, all this sorts of stuff, then the more those people will take charge of their lives and then the more good they can do. And then actually the quicker we can help other nations like in Africa and everywhere else to get their shit together. You know, it's hard to help other people get their shit together when we don't have our shit together. And we certainly don't in this country. And the last takeaway is that remember that conscious marketing is a challenge. It's a real challenge. And you, as an entrepreneur or a business person or someone who's working on their life purpose or whatever, are going to be tempted to give up on that challenge. Because it's going to be like, well, I can start a business doing high consciousness stuff, but it's real difficult to market, not a lot of money in it. Or I can target, I can manufacture and sell poison to people. And that will sell real great. People love it. I'll just make it bacon flavored poison and they'll love that shit. And I'll become filthy rich. See, so you're going to be tempted. Which way are you going to go? Remember that this is a very counterintuitive move. It might seem like by going this direction towards the high consciousness marketing, it's like, well, but I'm sacrificing so much. No, you're not. Actually, you sacrifice the most when you become a poison seller. Selling poison for a living is a terrible way to live. It's not fulfilling or rewarding. You want the most rewarding life possible? You know what that is? Is figure out a way to elevate the most human beings in the greatest possible degree, putting their interest first, and then also support yourself in that. You don't want to go broke doing that, but you know, support yourself doing that to a reasonable degree so you have a reasonable standard of living. And you will be the most happy human being on earth if you do that. On the other hand, if you go sell poison and you earn billions of dollars, I guarantee you, you're still going to be miserable. You're going to get so much less from life than if you would have chosen the high consciousness route. And in fact, you are going to put a glass ceiling on your own growth because there's only so high you can grow while working in a low consciousness job. It's just not going to work. You're going to be pursuing enlightenment on the one hand, but then working selling poison to other people on the other hand, that's going to be a massive cognitive disconnect for you. So what's going to realistically happen is that if you're going to be dead set on keeping your job, and let's say you have to because you're not very financially independent, so you're going to have to keep your poison selling job, you're going to abandon this enlightenment thing after a while. You're going to grow in consciousness until you hit that glass ceiling. After which point it's like, damn, if I actually become enlightened, I'm going to have to leave this job. That's going to be sort of like your decision point. But because you can't leave this job, you're going to say, well, okay, then I guess I can't get enlightened. I can't become more conscious. Because your mind's going to start to backwards rationalize in order to justify why you have to keep this poison selling job. Because, you know, to quit a poison selling job that pays very well, and then to go off and do something high consciousness that maybe doesn't pay as well, that's a very scary transition to make for many people. But that is the process of becoming more conscious. To become more conscious, you have to let go of all your unconscious behaviors and security blankets, whatever those are, whether that's your religion, whether that's your science, whether that's your atheism, your rationalism, or your your nasty corporate job or your toxic relationship or whatever else. That's where the rubber meets the road of this work. It's all theory and fun and games, and it's all interesting philosophy until you're facing a real world situation where it's like, shit, I gotta quit my job now because of this. I know too much. And that's sort of what happened with me when I started my first business. I started my first business, and it was a pretty low consciousness marketing business, so by no means am I above this. But I distinctly remember when I was sitting there reading a book, some sort of self-help book, and my business was booming. It was doing great. I was earning six figures like never before, and I was happy. And then I read this book, and I realize it hits me. For the first time, it hits me like, shit, I have to quit my entire business. My entire business is wrong. I will never be happy running this business, even though it's making a bunch of money. I have to quit it. Because I can clearly see that where I need to go, this business will drag me down. It'll be an anchor. I can't actually go to how high I want to go while this thing is weighing me down. And that was really scary. But man, am I glad that I followed through on the right choice in that situation. And that's what I encourage you to do. All right, that's it. I'm done here. Please click that like button for me. Don't forget. And come check out actualize.org. That's my website. I've got cool resources there for you. Especially check out my blog. I'm posting a lot of content there. Also, I'm going to be posting exclusive videos to the blog. So check those out. Some deep videos. Check out the forum. Check out the Life Purpose course. Check out the book list. Speaking of gems that you can discover. And just stick around for more episodes coming soon. A lot of deep stuff coming soon. Just so you understand kind of where I'm coming from with this, the way that I see my position with actualize.org is I'm not a speaker. I'm not a life coach. I'm not just some YouTube guy. I'm really a researcher. That's mostly what I do. Is I do research into weird stuff, metaphysical stuff, epistemic stuff, personal development stuff, spiritual stuff, non-dual stuff, psychedelic stuff, whatever kind of stuff. I'm willing to research whatever in order to find the best techniques, the best ideas, and then I want to synthesize those and bring them to you. So I literally research hundreds of sources, a very broad range of stuff, stuff that you would think at first like has nothing to do with personal development. But actually what you discover is that all of it comes together because personal development is not a narrow field. Personal development is life as a whole. It's how do you live life? How do you become a great human being? How do you get the most happiness? And to really understand that, you need a holistic approach, which is what actualize.org is about. And you need to research a lot of very diverse stuff. And the more I research, the more I discover how little I know, and the more amazing techniques I find, amazing books, amazing resources that I'll share with you in the future. Stuff that very few people discover. Because most people, they're not really interested in research. They're interested in just sort of like, they've got their idea, they've got their one technique that they want to share with you, they've got their system. And they're really attached to their system, and they're trying to teach you their system. And they're not spending nearly enough time doing research. Because you know what? Research takes a lot of time, and it doesn't always pay off immediate results. But then sometimes you hit the mother lode. And that's what really makes me excited. I discover things every single week as I'm doing research that I'm just like, super excited to want to share with you. I discover so much stuff. I don't have enough time and energy in the day to share all of it. I have so many products I want to create, so many resource lists and so many blog posts that I want to make and forum posts. Like there's so much stuff that I could share and talk about, but I'm only one man and there's only so much I can do so quickly. So it takes time for all this stuff to unfold. Really the stuff that you're seeing unfold now, you might think, oh, Leo, your content's getting deeper and more profound. Well, really, this is the kind of content that I was imagining myself making 4 years ago. But it's just taken us time to build up to it. It's also taken me time to build up my skills to this level where I can talk about it. And so the stuff you're seeing now is like 4 years behind. And the stuff that I know now, I'm so excited about because I wish I could just go share it with you immediately. But, you know, sometimes it takes time to build up to it. And that might take a few years for us to get to. So make sure you stay tuned for all that really juicy stuff coming in the future.